first name you ask is, what's his name? His name's Andy. How'd he get Andy? Well, it says Andy talked with me, Andy walked with me. God's name's Andy. It wasn't announced, but I do want to appreciate the ones that there was a small dinner provision for Marcella Lovell's family. Marcella Lovell passed away, so it was a thing here at the church in the fellowship hall. So appreciate those that put that together and provided for that family. So it's nice to use the building and show love to others around us. So I was talking about the Old Testament a little bit in Sunday school. So we're going to be in the Old Testament today. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 11, partly because I like that chapter, and there's always a message in that chapter. So it really tells Moses was human. No, he wasn't something, you know, bigger than he was. God provided, God put his spirit on him, but Moses was just a person trying to do what God wanted him to do. And we're going to find out about some complainers. I know Judy was busy watching football yesterday. There was baseball too, Judy. She said actually football was all that was on every channel. I think she turned it off. But there's baseball on too. You know, they get complainers in baseball too. You know, pretty soon one of the guys gets mad at somebody and complains, or about somebody else, or might do something to upset them. They complain about it, and so then you got two guys going out of it, and pretty soon that expands, and you end up in baseball. You see, it gets everybody involved, and both teams empty the benches, and they're out there then. So this one complaint, then they, you know, the manager comes out, he's trying to supervise, and then pretty soon it gets to the umpire, who's the final authority, and he takes over, and he either settles it or you get kicked out. So you either obey the rules, you do what you're told. If you want to still complain and be combative and be against what he says, then you're dismissed. You're out. So we each face complainers, you know, in life, and especially in work and things, and people complain about anything and everything. You know, I probably told you about a couple of guys, I'm not going to go over it again, that just are constantly, one where I used to work, he's just in a bad mood all the time. That was just his nature, was to be in a bad mood. And it was hard to get him out of that sometimes. He just wanted to be there and complaining about things. I think I mentioned one of my other people currently is just, he whines about everything. You know, he's hot, he's cold, there's too much to do, there's not enough to do, it's just always something. So you got to deal with that all the time. And honestly, told him he probably needed to grow up a little bit, that I didn't want to hear any more complaining if it wasn't legitimate. If you got something legitimate, that's fine. Bring it to me, we'll settle it. But just for the sake of whining and complaining, you know, come on. So, and they always start out small sometimes, and then they get bigger. Some complain when people are trying to help, and that's very aggravating. When somebody's trying to help somebody and they're still complaining about it, you know, whether that effort failed or helped, they're still complaining about it. Because maybe they didn't do it the same way or the way they thought they should have, but in the effort to help. So some complain if they get something and then they just want more, and then they want more. You know, it doesn't end. But and then you got the ones that everything's better somewhere else. You know, the grass is always greener, you know, on the other side. I'm for you bettering yourself, but just know there's cow patties over there too. They're in everywhere. So we're going to see in Numbers, we're going to break Numbers up. We're not going to read every verse in number 11, but we're going to break it up a little bit. We're going to start in with verses, just the first three verses of Numbers. It says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed them, consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And when the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them." Let's pray. Father, again, your word, we just ask you to make it come to life in our hearts and our minds. Just come to life where we understand what you're saying, but just to, not to read it, Lord, but to apply it, to see where it fits in our life and how we should do and how we should do to please you. And just let the Spirit bring it today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Israel, they've come out of Egypt. You know, we've had the Exodus. They've come out. They've been going around. You know, God's did a lot of stuff for them. You know, they had all the plagues where he got them out of Egypt. You know, he organized them. He organized them in their different tribes. He counted them. So they knew how many fighting people. They knew it was going to be a fight where they were going. He counted them. You know, he purified them. He separated them out. He taught them. You know, and he blessed them. He did all these things. You know, they left Egypt. You know, they left with plunder, you might say. It's not that they fought for it. The Egyptians were glad to give it to them. Here, go, please. You know, after the Passover, after the deaths, you know, here, take it and go. Just leave. So they left with some stuff. But, you know, he gave them the Levites as the priesthood to take care of things. He celebrated Passover with them. His presence was visibly with them in a cloud of fire in their midst at the tabernacle. So, you know, he was with them this whole time, showing he was power. And we find yet now they rebelled about a year earlier when they first started out a little bit. But God didn't do anything at that time. You know, they were new. He had compassion. He didn't pass any judgment on that new group coming out of Egypt. But now we see this is about a year later, and, you know, there's a time to grow up. They should have grown up in his presence in this time. They should have matured being with the Lord. You know, they shouldn't have stayed the babies that they were. You know, they should have matured during this time. But still they rebelled. You know, say, you know, this is too hard. You know, it wasn't easy. They're traveling around the desert. You know, they're moving constantly, but now it's too hard. You know, we're tired of walking around. You know, it was again always something. You know, there was no appreciation for what had happened. There was no faith. There was no gratitude. Well, this time he became angry, and he sent fire around the outside of the camp. You know, God warns us. I think he'll put things in our way that will warn us to turn from a direction that we're going. He puts those in front of us, and I think there's a conviction that he'll put in us if we'll only accept that and really realize it's there to change what we're doing. But he will convict us to move in another direction. And we say they cried out. You know, they realized, first of all, that gets your attention when a bunch of fire is going off encircling your campground. And they cried out. Well, they cried out to Moses. You know, Moses was their intercessor. Moses was the lead guy. And Moses interceded for him. You know, like Jesus intercedes for us today. He interceded. And I think we always need to remember, God always remembers mercy. You know, God's a merciful God. And he ended it. You know, the fire died down. And things were okay. Let's move on to down the road a little bit. In verses 4 through 6, it says, "The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.'" And that can't be good. Complaining like that cannot be good. they just go a little bit down the road, and honestly, there's a group that started complaining. You know, that's how it festers. One person, two people, three, a group starts complaining. And they're complaining about the food now. You know, the rabble. The rabble was the people that came with the Jewish people out of Egypt. They were Egyptians. They were other from other countries that had either been slaves or, you know, their lot in life in Egypt wasn't very good. So they kind of hooked onto the coattails of the Jews to get out of town and to start something new. So they left with Jewish, but it seems like it started with those that they didn't want manna. We know manna is the food that God dropped down. They would gather it every morning, what they needed, would eat it, mix it up, you know, make it into something, eat it, and every morning he supplied that. And it obviously had everything they needed to survive the trip and to be healthy. You know, God always uses stuff for his signs as well. You know, we manna, you know, it's the bread of life. You know, it means more than just, you know, a flake of something coming out of the sky. It means provision for him. It means the bread of life. And, you know, it means God provides our daily bread. You know, all the things we have, all the things we eat, we should appreciate it. It's a gift, you know. Maybe it's a food issue. You know, Adam and Eve had an issue with food too. And, you know, they had what they needed. They had everything they needed and yet wanted more. And so food gets us in trouble sometimes, I guess. But if we get a craving, you know, say when something pops up, we crave it. We want it so bad. We get a craving for it. And it's usually not a craving we should have. It's not usually not good for us. And it generally leads to problems. It leads to sin when we get cravings like that. But these folks started it, you know, kind of with a selective memory, you know, saying, you know, not really what happened. And having meat and all these foods to eat in Egypt, I doubt it was as they said. You know, slaves probably didn't have the best diets. I'm not saying they didn't have fish or they didn't have meat sometimes, but I don't believe it was as much as what they're remembering it now or what they're thinking it was. So again, complaining and no appreciation, you know. Again, it started with people not part of the body, and it just spread. Just like the little spark that starts a fire and drop of poison that messes up a bucket of water, you know, ruins the whole batch. It started with people not part of the body, and then it spread. And then the Jewish people started listening, much like Adam and Eve in the garden. They started listening to someone saying something that wasn't true. But they made it sound good. But they listened, and eventually they participated. They became the same. So they started wailing. That's severe whining. You're wailing. That's severe whining. You know, we have trouble looking at the past sometimes. You know, our remembrance and our perspective, you know, tends to change. You know, it over the years, and sometimes the past looks different to different people. You know, we remember things sometimes how we want to remember things. Maybe not how they actually were, but in our current, how we want to remember them. Dwelling on the past, you know, the past is cool, our heritage and those things, but if you're really dwelling in the past on some things, it really hampers our future. It really puts a damper on it because we're constantly looking backward. We're missing out on what's in front of us. You know, focusing on the past causes us to miss out on where God wants to take us. You know, if God is in your life, which direction looks better? I hope forward. You can dwell in the past, or you can look forward in faith to a wonderful future in God's plan. But you have to pick what you're going to look at. Keep looking back, you're going to hit something eventually. It's going to cause some damage. We need to look forward. look forward with God in our plan. So they had this trouble with food. And we see what happens again in verses 10 through 15. It says, Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." I like that section. I empathize with Moses sometimes in that section. If you've been in supervisory position or been over people, there's not a time you haven't felt like that. You cannot do it and not feel like that at times. Joni's heard me play more than once. Not sure I can do much more of this. I can't do this anymore. But we see what the complaints caused. They got everybody stirred up. Now they're griping and whining about everything. We see Moses was troubled. I think a little more than troubled, but God was ticked off now. He was angry. Remember, God has righteous anger. He doesn't get anger for wrong purposes. He gets angry because things aren't as they should be. He has a righteous anger. What do we do when we're troubled? Do we take things into our own hands? Do we sulk around? Do we get back at someone? Do we blame other people or other things? Sometimes we retreat into ourselves. You know, you just get quiet. You just want to be alone. You know, maybe we've done some or all of those things. If you've been in that position. But maybe we should do what Moses did. You know, he prayed. This is what he's doing. He's praying to God. Again, should be a first resort in matters, not the last. Not self-reliance, thinking I can handle it, I can work out of this. We need to go to God in these things. This may not have been his best prayer he's ever said, but it was an honest one. You know, he went to God honestly. You know, he says, you know, we look at what he says. He says, "Why me? You know, what have I done to deserve this? You know, I'm not their mother. I don't want to babysit all these people. Why did you give me this job? Work?" And I've used some of those phrases because I remember this passage. I think, I know what you feel like. There comes a time where it just is like, you know, this should not be like this. It's not this hard. But complaining people cause it to be like that. Not satisfied. And then we see he gets, you know, he says, "Where can I get meat for all these people?" You know. He says, "They keep whining about it. I can't do it anymore. If this is how it's going to be, if this is how you're going to treat me, just put me to death right now. Just take me now." Sanford and his son, Elizabeth, I just remember, "Just take me now. Just take me now. I can't do it anymore." But again, I empathize with Moses. You know, just there are just times where it just gets a little overwhelming sometimes, dealing with people that don't appreciate, don't care about things. You know, complaints breed complaints. It just starts. Complaints aren't an appreciation to things actually done for them. They don't see the good. Things that are really done for them to help them or trying to help them, they only see what they feel they lack. They only focus on what they don't have or what they want. So complaining and bitterness affects everyone. It's just not them. It trickles throughout everybody. And the more it's shared, the greater it grows. You know, if some share it, they talk others into feeling the same way. And they talk others into feeling the same way. But it just makes everyone's life miserable when that happens. Especially when it's over and over again because someone doesn't get the outcome they want. Doesn't get the results that they were looking for. You know, see, God wasn't angry with Moses. He was angry with the complainers. He was angry with Israel, the Jewish people. You know, he knew Moses was tired, worn out from what had all been happening in Egypt, the Exodus, and was frustrated. And just think about what all he's been through with people. You know, he's been through the plagues. He's been with Pharaoh asking to let my people go. And no, and going through all the plagues, cleared the Passover. Then he leads them out, and they're complaining when they reach the sea that, well, you've trapped us now. Good job. of course, the sea parts, they get through. They praise God, and they want water, you know. They don't have enough water, and, you know, just it's been constant until this point, and now they're still complaining again. But what does God do? He provides help. He gives us support. In 16 and 17, it says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. So, a good time to put in a plug for the New Year votes on the deacons and trustees. If anybody wants to put their name in, be thinking about that. We would appreciate it. But, you know, God doesn't leave him stranded. He knows he needs help. He gives him 70 elders to help. Whether it's true or not, Jewish tradition says the Sanhedrin started with these people. Which is the Jewish ruling body, has its origins with this group. And the Sanhedrin was made up of 71 members, and that was 70 elders, and then the one extra one for Moses. So whether that's true or not, I don't know, but Jewish tradition says that. The bottom line, God will give us help if we ask. You know, and he'll supply the power of Holy Spirit that we and the others need. You know, he's available. We've got to go to him. Go to him first. Now we're going to see God's also willing to provide meat that the complainers wanted. So 18 through 23 tells about the next section for the complaining people. So it tells the people. He says, tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. He says, the Lord heard you when you wailed. He said, if only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you your meat and you'll eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? And the Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So God says, get ready. You're going to eat meat. I'm going to give you what you wanted. You're going to eat it till you're sick of it. You're going to eat it for 30 days till it comes out your nose. And why is it? Because he said this, because you rejected the Lord. It wasn't the complaint about the food necessarily. It was rejection of God. His provision was not appreciating what he'd done for him. God's sovereign, and everything that comes to us in life is given to us by Him. You know, He controls all things, and things are given us as He intends for them to be given to us for our good. You know, complaints about anything is ultimately a complaint about God. It all goes back to God. So consider that when you have a complaint, before you speak it out, say, who's this really against? You're saying God was wrong to give us things we don't like, or failing to give us things we do. It's all on God. Like I said before, God at times will give us over. The Bible says, give it over to their desires. He'll give us over to our desires. He'll give us over to the things we want. And He said, you'll get meat as you wanted. It won't be good for you that you asked for it in your rejection of me. So here it is. Well, Moses still, I think, was tired, not thinking real clearly in his tiredness, because he asked, how in the world are we going to do that? How in the world is that going to happen? You know, how are we going to get all this meat? You know, and this coming from a guy, again, who just forgot the not-so-distant past, seeing plagues and all the miracles performed. But to get to the point, his eyes on the world for a little bit here. Says, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, in the world it can. But with God, nothing's impossible. Says, he sees, see where we are as humans. We get caught up in the world. You know, we don't consider God in all things, and we forget who God is. We only see what can be done in the natural world, and fail to have faith and trust in God's power to do things. And again, this is from a guy who had seen a lot recently, the plagues and the parting of the sea and all these things. He saw all these miracles in the desert. Well, God answers Moses and asks if the Lord's arm's too short. You know, do we shorten God's arm? Is He not strong enough? He says, you'll see if what I say comes true or not. You'll see. Don't shorten God's arm. He's strong enough to do what He says. Strong enough to feel any need. And then we find out it comes to pass in verses 31 to 34 as we drop down. It says, now wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night, and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and He struck them with a severe plague. Therefore the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. So it comes true. You know, quail are blown in and are 3 feet deep a day in any direction from the camp. Based on the wordings that's used in the descriptions, some say it may be maybe up to 2 ton of quail or 20 billion actual quail that came in. So God provides. You know, if you look at that in money, quail's a buck. That's $20 billion. God can do anything. He provides everything we need, and at times those things we want, even though they're not good for us. So let us have our desires, whatever our heart desire is. So we're going to have an invitation song in just a minute. I think this too, the people that buried, I think God separated the Jewish people out again. You know, the rabble was there, the outside people, that they're the ones that kind of caused this issue with complaining. They were there on the coattails wanting better, but maybe not necessarily wanting God, and the complaints, you know, ate into the Jewish people. And I think probably most of those that were killed, you know, were those that God separated to get the Jewish people back together again, that took the outside influence away from them at this time. So don't be a complainer. In the end, it's a complaint about God and what He's doing and doing for you and around you. Don't wear out those around you with endless complaints, small or large. They wear on people. You know, it draws everyone down. You know, our job is supposed to be to lift everyone up. Be aware of God in your life. You know, He's sanctifying you. He's teaching you. He's caring for you. He's blessing you. Don't give up in life when you're tired or worn down. Turn to God. Be honest with Him. And He'll give you help in those times that you think you can't go on sometimes. He'll provide help in different forms. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's family. It'll always be His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't limit God. His arm's long enough to do anything. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Sometimes this is an easy passage to have personal experience with, Lord, in all of our lives. And Moses was just a man, Lord, trying to do what You wanted. We see how You helped him, Lord. We see You were with him and helped him, not angry at him. But Lord, we all face troubles and trials in this world. And sometimes we think, well, how are we going to get out of this? We don't consider Your power and Your strength. We limit You to what You can do. Lord, help us to be strong in our faith, strong in our knowing that You are powerful, strong in knowing that You are sovereign over all things. Help us when we think to complain, Lord, to stifle it as best we can, Lord. Help us to be more appreciative of the things You do for us, the things You provide for us, that they're not in and of herself. They're a gift from You. Lord, help us be lifter-uppers, not ones to draw down. Help us to be who we say we are. We're Christians and believers in Jesus Christ. Let others see that in us, Lord. We are going to fail, Lord. We're not perfect, but You are. And You can help us in all of those things. Guide us in all of those things. Make up for our shortcomings. Just help us to be what You want us to be in word and deed. And help us to see those times where we're failing. We just thank You. We just give You the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.